I want to share a little bit about thankfulness, and as I say, I'm going to ask the Powerhouse kids to help me with something later on. Alphonse Carr was a 19th century French critic and novelist, and they said this: some people are always grumbling because roses have thorns. I am thankful that thorns have roses. That's great, isn't it, that? You might want to tweet that, so I'll say it again. She says this, some people are always grumbling because roses have thorns. I am thankful that thorns have roses. I love that clip of Lane Cooper, the metal worker. And he says this: the world is full of junk. People bring me junk. But my art is a blessing from God. He is with me and I'm thankful every day. What a fantastic statement that is. That people can sometimes see in life the thorns and the junk. But when we come with the gratitude in our heart, then we can break through that and perhaps see the roses and the art that there is in life. For us, Harvest Thanksgiving is a time to sing out our praises, as we have done this morning, for all that he's given us. And traditionally, Harvest Festival in the Bible were joyful all-age occasions like today, with the singing of psalms, with party food, tomato and basil soup, I'm sure, special prayers, and sharing food with those in need. It's great that we've embraced that sense of tradition that the Bible talks about Harvest Thanksgiving being. And the Bible encourages us in lots of ways and inspires us, as it did in the Old Testament, to give thanks and sing out those thanks to God. Psalm 9 verse 1, you'll see it there on the big screen. I will give thanks, and Nathaniel read this right at the start of our service. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. Gratitude, thankfulness, appreciation. It's all important, isn't it? That's why we teach our kids to say thank you. Anyone heard of this growing up? Manners cost nothing. Yeah, yeah. My mum's looking at me now. Said it a number of occasions. Thanking someone costs nothing. Heard that one? Yeah, we had all of those in our house as well. But parents wanted to instill into us a sense of gratitude and thankfulness. So important. Because when we adopt an attitude of gratitude, we won't take life for granted. When we come in thankfulness to God and for others, it'll shift something in our hearts. Adrian spoke before about how our attitude in life can give us altitude in life. It raises personal sense of joy and hope and love and appreciation of other people. There's a professor who goes by the name Richard Wiseman. He was on a radio show. The radio show was called The Life Scientific. And he spoke about the actual health benefits of a gratitude intervention. That's what he called it, a gratitude intervention. And he speaks of the scientific evidence that there is for health improvements made simply by being thankful. And he went on to say there was a group of people who were asked by clinicians to think of and record something to be thankful for at the end of each day. And after a number of weeks, he talked about how their health, their mental health, but also their physical health had improved. There was scientific proof that thankfulness shifts something in us. That's incredible, isn't it? It shifts our focus to a life of appreciation and thankfulness, but it affects us mentally, physically as well. So it's great. Science is just catching up with what the Bible says. Great, isn't it? After all these years, it's finally catching up. Proven to have a positive impact. But more than that, though, thankfulness and gratitude is a biblical principle, as we've talked about this morning, that can shift our hearts and directs us to a life that is appreciative of all he has done. And, you know, if we're not intentionally grateful, we'll become unintentionally take things for granted. We've got to be intentional. I love what Simon shared a few weeks back on a Sunday evening. He talked about being intentional with our words, not just speaking words out, but really considering what we're saying, measuring our words, because there's a power to words. Listen to the podcast if you missed that. Equally, we need to be intentionally grateful in our lives, otherwise become unintentionally take things for granted. So I want to challenge us in that this morning. And just to help us, there's a little story in the Bible. It's a few verses long. It's from the book of Luke, chapter 17, and it's verses 11 to 19. and I won't be much longer, and then I'm going to ask the powerhouse kids to help me. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria, and he entered a village there. 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And he looked at them and he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, "Praise God!" He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? As no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner. And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." 10 men, 10 lepers that were living as rejects of society, outcasts, even that place where Jews and Samaritans were enemies, but they found a place of where they could be together because all of them had leprosy. That was a thing that they had in common, and they were thrown together. We read that Jesus healed all 10 of these 10 lepers. 9 were thankless, 1 was thankful. 9 looked to their healing, 1 looked to their healer. 9 got distracted, and we read that they never returned, but 1 was drawn and returned back to Jesus. 9 went on their own way in life, 1 went out of their way to come back to Jesus. 10 were healed from leprosy, but we read that there was one in that passage who received a greater healing. Jesus said, "Your faith has healed you." Other versions and interpretations say, "Your faith has saved you." So in that culture, this man was a Samaritan. That's highlighted. He was a leper. He was a reject. Some would say he's a hopeless cause. He was an enemy of the Jews, and he came back to Jesus, and he found healing in Jesus, and we read that he gave thanks, and he received even more. And in many ways, think of this as our story as well. We've come this morning thanking Jesus for all that he's done. And considering this leper, we can consider ourselves as well, that there is no condition that has made us unreachable. There is no sin that has made you unlovable. There is no fear that has disqualified you. There is no hurt that has made you unacceptable to Jesus. The miracle of thankfulness in this story is the love that Jesus has. And that's incredible. That love that calls, that love that cleanses, that qualifies, that redeems, that restores, that accepts, as we see for this one man here. That's a miracle of thankfulness. Sometimes we just need to stop in our tracks, just as this one leper did, and say, "Hold on a minute. I've got a reason to say thank you to Jesus. And I'm going to follow him. I'm going to come back to Jesus and live a life of gratitude. I'm going to say thank you." So this morning, I want to encourage you to think about the impact of a life of thanksgiving. To think about this morning, in all that we've done, all that we've talked about, all the songs that we've sung, what would it mean for you to live a life of thanksgiving, of thankfulness? And maybe we can shift this morning from a harvest thanksgiving to a life of thanks living. So leaving this place and living a life of thankfulness. Yes, there's the scientific evidence that shows that we will perhaps have mental and physical health improvements, but we're also applying a biblical principle to our life, and it's a biblical principle that this one leper discovered for himself. That is incredible. Powerhouse kids, I'm going to ask if you can help me a moment. And in this little basket here, I've got lots of leaves. There's enough leaves for everyone in this building. That's amazing, isn't it? I know it's amazing because I sat and cut them all out on Friday night. But on these leaves, these aren't just autumn leaves. These are our thanks living leaves, okay? There's 7 days. And I want to encourage you, and I know what happens because I've done it myself at times. You put them on the fridge and you forget they're there, or you leave them in your Bible. See what I did there? You leave them in your Bible and then you discover them the next week when Adrian's speaking and you turn to it. I want to challenge all of us this morning to maybe think each day of something we can thank God for, what he's doing, or what he has done in each of our lives that day. Go back over it next Sunday, Monday, and recall those things. We was encouraged today through that great reading Nathaniel brought us to tell of the wonderful things that God has done in our lives. Maybe next Sunday morning, we can just get our leaves out and say, hey, this is what God's been doing in my life this week, and I am thankful for this. So I want to challenge you in that this morning, that this is our response to this Thanksgiving message, that it becomes from Thanksgiving to thanks living. I want to encourage you this morning, maybe that we look for opportunities of thankfulness this next week. Maybe it's at the Aldi's or at Tesco, we just express our thanks to the people that are working in there. Maybe it's when we're at school and we thank our teachers who are doing a fantastic job. Maybe it is at the NHS, at the doctors, and we express our thanks. Let's turn our Thanksgiving this morning into thanks living this week. If I can invite you to stand, we're going to sing our final song this morning. Be blessed as you go. Hope you can join us at 6 p.m. tonight. Please receive gratefully these leaves off the kids. And think about what you can do this week as an attitude and heart of thanks living. Go on, guys. Great. Bless you.